Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Praise God. You have a chance to greet people around you and say hello to folks and snub some people that you didn't want to talk to. We don't do that here. I'm doing a series on Wednesday nights on numbers, but I want you to know it's not numerology. Numerology is a cult that believes that your future is hidden in numbers like a horoscope. And we don't believe that. But there is something about numbers that God brings up from time to time in the Bible that's very significant. When God mentions numbers, there's a reason. You know, when Jesus told, I think it's Peter and John, to throw the net on the other side of the boat, and they pulled in the fish, someone counted, because the Bible says there was 153 large fish. Why is that there? Something significant. Sometimes numbers are significant. Sometimes they're just there just to know. Jesus fed 5,000 people, you know, at one particular time. Was that a general number? Was it a specific number? David picked up 5 smooth stones. And when we get to the number 5, we're going to learn it's a number of grace. 5 is a number of grace. We'll get to that in a few weeks. And I am so happy to see that when we started numbering our offices around here, my office got number 5. I take that. I say, all right, God, that's awesome. But tonight we're looking at God's math, and we're looking at the number 2. Last week we talked about number 1. The week prior to that we talked about the number 23, since it's a year 2023, and we talked about it being a year of completion, an end to some things and a beginning of some new things. Well, as we go along, we're going to see some numbers that are going to pop up that in your life that have been very significant over the years. And it's in God could be trying to communicate to you through numbers if they keep popping up. Like, you know, if you keep waking up in the morning and it happens to be 333, you know, over and over and over again. Could it be that God has got something for you? And 333, you know, Jeremiah 33:3 is God's address. You know that, right? God's address. Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. So there's just a lot of things that could be very significant with numbers, and we just need to pay attention to that. And tonight we're going to look at number 2. Number 2 happens to be, so many times God uses the number 2 to represent a faithful witness, a testimony, a faithful witness or testimony. If you could put that up, there you go, God's math. Jesus said, John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 32, that the Holy Spirit bore witness to him before he ever saw Jesus coming down to the river to be baptized. He said the Holy Spirit bore witness to him in John chapter 1 that the Messiah, the one that he was preparing the way for, would be one that he would see the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove, in the form of a dove, and landing on that person and would remain on him. And he said that's how he would witness or testify, God would testify to him that this is the Messiah. And of course, we know that that happened. And so John declared that. He said, I've had the witness of the Holy Spirit to me. So there was 2 witnesses, John the Baptist and the Holy Spirit bore witness to him that Jesus is the Son of God when he saw that happen. 2 witnesses. God used 2 witnesses to establish something. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 17. Jesus said, I'm not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is written in your law that the testimony of 2 men is true. Well, I'm one that bears witness of myself, and the Father sent me bears witness of me. There's two that bear witness of testimony, or the testimony of God. And then in another place, in 1 John chapter 5, it says this, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, or 5 and 6 rather, this is he who came by water and blood too, okay? Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So there's the testimony of Jesus. He came not only by water, but his blood also testifies to who he is and what his assignment was. The Bible itself is a testimony of two. You have the Old Testament, you have the New Testament. Both of them say the same thing. They are witnessing the same thing. They're saying that the Word of God is true, that Jesus Christ is God. In every book of the Old Testament, you can see a picture of Jesus. Bruce is teaching a great class now on Wednesdays about the Old Testament has been revealed in the New Testament. And in every book of the Bible, you will see Jesus, a picture and a type. And so this whole book, Old Testament and New Testament, is a testimony or a witness of two, this bearing witness of the testimony of God. When Jesus sent the apostles out to witness, he sent them out two by two, okay? And so they were a testimony, or they were to be a legal witness according to man's law. God used Noah as a witness in the days of the flood. And he caused the animals in the ark to come into the ark in pairs of two. God used Joshua and Caleb as two witnesses against 10 witnesses that God's word was true, that the promised land was just like God said it was. We can take this land. Yes, there are enemies there that are bigger and stronger than us, but we can do this. And God had the witness, not just of Joshua, but of Joshua and Caleb, that this is true. This is a good land. We can take this land. We're supposed to be there. And so they witnessed as God's testimony against the 10 spies who did not believe the promise of God. The 10 commandments were written on two tablets. Okay, the two thieves were crucified next to Jesus as a witness of his crucifixion. There were two angels that were witnesses of his resurrection. One was at the head, where Jesus' head would have been in the tomb, and one was at the feet. How many of you have been to the tomb, the garden tomb? That's an awesome place, isn't it? And you see how little it is when you get inside there. But there was an angel there at the head and an angel there at the foot, as they were witnesses of his resurrection. There were two angels when Jesus ascended to on the Mount of Olives into heaven. There were above 500 people who saw it all together at one time. And those two angels said, "Why do you men keep standing up here looking in the sky? The same Jesus that went up is going to come back in like manner." So these two witnesses were angels that bore witness. And in the last days of tribulation, which many of us, we may live to see this actually happen, there will be two witnesses that will show up after the tribulation period upon the earth and bear witness with miracles, signs, and wonders of God's word is true. Now, again, we see this number two, bearing witness. It's giving a testimony that God's word is true. God, and he says something, he confirms it with a witness. When you get a prophetic word from somebody, then you should keep it to yourself. Don't go blabbing it around to everybody and say, "Hey, this is what somebody prophesied over me." Keep it to yourself. And if it's a word from God, God will confirm that word to you, if it's a prophetic word, by at least two or even three witnesses. Can I get a witness from somebody who knows? That's right. You wait on God. Let God confirm things to you. Ask God when you're not sure about something, "God, would you confirm this to me?" He likes to confirm things to us with witnesses or testimonies, and he uses many times two of those things to happen. In the construction furniture of the wilderness tabernacle, remember, the wilderness tabernacle was before the temple. It was a tent covered with many different skins and so forth. Everything had a purpose. But the furniture inside the wilderness tabernacle, the seven-branch lampstand, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant, and all that, was made of wood, but it was covered over with gold. Twofold, a witness, a picture, a type of Jesus, okay? Because wood represents humanity. It's going to decay. It's going to return back to dust. Gold represents divinity. It's not going to decay. It's going to remain. And so Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is divinity with humanity. When we see Jesus one day in heaven, he's going to have the same body that he had here on earth. His body was resurrected. We'll actually see the same body that he walked around in on the earth. So, and we see a picture and a type of that in the wilderness tabernacle and then the temple and then all that. And so it's just representative of Jesus. Later on, the Temple of Solomon that Solomon built and David provided for. In that temple, there were two brass pillars in front of this tabernacle when you walked in. And they were given names. Do you remember the names? Jachin and Boaz. And Jachin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, means God establishes. Boaz, who was the husband of Ruth and the grandfather of David, means in him is strength. So God had these two pillars in his temple. When you walked inside, you would understand this is what God establishes, and in God is strength. That makes me think that whatever God does is going to last. Whatever God does has his strength in it. And I think of Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Any work of God, it has to be God establishing it, not man establishing it. And God will bear witness to that. He'll give testimony to that. If it's a work of God, God is the one who's establishing it. And then God will sustain it. You know, if this church belongs to God, God established this church. A man didn't establish this church. God established this church. People he used, but God's the one who established this church if it's his church. And guess what? He sustains it. We've gone through some very lean times in which we hardly had any people here and just difficult times, but God sustained it because it's God's church. See, if it was man's church, you'd have to depend on man and man's ways, but it's God's. And any work of God that God establishes, he protects and he blesses. And we're living in the blessing right now. You are the blessing. You are God's blessing. You are awesome. And so God sent you here to not only be a blessing, but to bless other people. So whatever work God establishes in your life, he also sustains it. So we have these two pillars that we see there. And this is what God intends for any work that he establishes on the earth. And then after King Solomon, you know, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. It was divided, and they couldn't cooperate together, couldn't work together. Well, there was a king, Jeroboam. He was trying to keep the people under him, and religion has always been a dangerous tool in the hands of man. Religion is a tool how men try to control people, even today. And so Jeroboam tried to control people and keep them from going to Jerusalem, the other kingdom, to worship God. So what he did, he erected two golden calves. And he said to the people, this is your God. Here's where you need to worship. You don't need to go back over there to Jerusalem, up there to that kingdom. You need to stay here in your own kingdom and worship. So the two calves were a testimony, number two, a testimony of idolatry of God's people. And for many years, God's people went into idolatry. And as a result, this was followed by the witness of two prophets. Anybody know their name? They sound alike. 100,000 points for anybody who gets this question. Very good. 100,000 points to all of you. Don't spend it all in one place. Elijah and Elisha, the two witnesses to God's people about their idolatry. And that was their mission, their assignment, to call God's people to repent and return to the true God. It's interesting, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, when a person had leprosy, which was considered an incurable disease, there was no known cure for it. You just died from leprosy. Your limbs fell off and you eventually perished. That if there was a miracle and God healed a leper, according to the Old Covenant, they were commanded to bring two doves or two birds to the priest as a testimony that they had been healed. If they had been healed, the sacrifice would be taken. In Leviticus 14, it was two goats. So it was a testimony of two that you have been healed. When you have been healed by God, you should stand up and give glory to God. But there all should be another witness that, yes, you have been healed. You know, whenever there's a healing or miracle, there will always be at least two confirmations or two witnesses to that testimony. And so, anyway, so when we move along here, we see Jesus said this. He said everything about God, everything in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant can be covered in two commandments. If you obey this, you'll keep both commandments, the law and the prophets. And you know it. Here it is, Matthew 22. Say it with me. Jesus said, you shall, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. On one of these two commandments... hang all the law, that's not worded properly, but on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So there it is. The law and the prophets bear witness that if you can just make that your mission. What's my mission? My mission number one is to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, every strength. Lately, for probably the past 6 months, when I get around my backyard and I'm walking around in the morning praying, talking to God, that's one of the things I say to him. Lord, my mission today is to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, all my strength, and my neighbors, myself. That's my assignment, and I will do it to the best of my ability with your grace upon me. The second part of my mission is to listen to you. You will lead me. Number three, be led by God. So those are my three personal markers. If I had my board up here, I'd mark them down for you. Number one, to love God and love his people. Number two, listen to God, because he will talk to you. He will lead you. And number three, let him lead. Those three markers. That's what I go by. That's my daily assignment. And I make that my mark. And you know what God does? It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So anyway, so we're talking about number two. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the testimony or the witness of God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. He's called the faithful and true witness. And guess what? He's number two in the Trinity. And they are one, but he's number two. But yet they're one. Are you with me? You confused? Okay. I am, but praise God you're not. Now, the Roman soldier, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he took his spear and he plunged it into Jesus' side to see whether or not he was actually dead. When he pulled the spear out, what came out? A testimony. The water and the blood was a testimony that Jesus was actually dead. Because after Jesus died and then was resurrected, there were some people that tried to spread a rumor around saying, well, Jesus was never really died. He just swooned, and then he never really died, and then he revived in the cool tomb and came out. But the testimony of the water and the blood showed, no, that's not true. The testimony was that he actually was physically dead. Amen? Okay, and that's John chapter 19. Our friend, I told you that I got a lot of this information from, he gave me a book about numbers, God's math, God's numbers. And Troy Brewer, he wrote this book, and he revealed an interesting fact that I did not know. He said that the word grace in the book of Revelation is only mentioned two times in the book of Revelation. I did not know that. It's in the first chapter and the last chapter. Now, that was just an interesting fact to me that he said that, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention. This week, I was talking to a young man who was very intellectual, very, very well read, and he had a lot of questions about the church, which church is the true church. You know, he had a lot of questions about Catholicism. He had a lot of questions, and when he was talking to me, I could tell he was very well read, and he knew a lot of interesting facts. And I was trying to answer his questions, and man, this went on for about 45 minutes, and I was about questioned out, you know. So the bottom line is what I feel like the Lord told me to tell him this, you know. You can research on the internet and read books and go talk to people in religion until you're blue in the face. But the bottom line is, if I want to know what truth is and what's right and what's wrong, I have two go-tos, two witnesses, two testimonies. And here's what I go to find out what truth is all about. Very simple. Number one, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I've already settled that issue. It's not up for debate for me. I've done a lot of studying, a lot of reading. This book is the Word of God in print for us. It's the will of God, and I believe that. It's a prophetic book. That is, it tells us things that are going to happen before they happen. That's how we know it's the Word of God. It prophesied in detail hundreds of years before Christ was born, where he would be born, how he would die, how he would be buried, how he would be resurrected, how he would ascend. It even prophesied down in the Old Testament that it would be 30 pieces of silver he'd be betrayed for. Mathematically, that's impossible to get those things. It's like this. It's like me saying to you, now, tomorrow afternoon at exactly 11 minutes after 3, it's going to start to drizzle over your house. Nobody else's house, but over your house, it's going to start to drizzle. And 3:16, it's going to downpour. And there's going to be lightning and thunder just over your house. And 3:20, it's going to go away and the sun's going to shine while it's raining on everybody else's house. Now, I predict that's going to happen tomorrow. And you'd say, well, that's easy to check out. So you go to your house tomorrow and at exactly 3:11, guess what? It starts to drizzle. Then 3:16, it starts to downpour. And then next thing you know, there's lightning. And it's not raining on anybody else's house but your house. You'd come back to me and you'd say, man, are you psychic? Are you a prophet? I'd say, no, I'm not psychic. How did you know that? You'd be amazed, would you not? Well, I can't do that. But guess what? God already did it. He's told us details that mathematically it is impossible for man to try to duplicate this book. So I'm settled that this is my go-to. When I want to know what truth is, I go to this. I look to see if it's in the Bible. And the second thing is, okay, if I can't find necessarily how that would apply to my situation, my second go-to is Jesus. I look at the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus is perfect theology. Not the life of any of the disciples or anybody else, but the life of Jesus is perfect theology. Theology is the study of God. If you want to see what God thinks, how God acts, how he dealt with religious people, how he dealt with hypocrites, how he dealt with down and outers, what he did with money, you look at the life of Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. Can I get an amen? Amen. Those are two things. That's all I need. I don't need any other testimony. I don't need any other witness. That's my go-to when I want to find out what the truth is. So I hammered this into this guy. I was a young guy who kept peppering me with questions about this and this religion, that religion, and blah, blah, blah. I said, look, all I know is I have two go-tos when I want to know the truth, and that's all you need. Go to the Word. Get the Word in you, know the Word of God first, and then study the life of Jesus, and then you'll find that what the truth is. Save yourself a lot of headache instead of going to the internet and talking to everybody else. So whether he's going to do that or not, I don't know. But there it is again, the testimony of two. And I was surprised this week as I was preparing this message to say that number two is the testimony. Then I just told this guy over the phone, I heard myself say there are two things that I go to. And I went, wow, that's pretty good. I'm not that smart. God is way, he's using me. He's speaking through me. And then I find out this week as I'm preparing this message that George Washington, the founder, the father of our nation, was a faithful witness. And he said the same thing. Look at what he said. He said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Me and George Washington on the same page. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. George Washington, Gary Washburn, pretty close. And it's interesting to note that George Washington was born on the 22nd day of the second month of 1732. Coincidence? I don't know. You be the judge about that. But it's interesting to note, number two represents a testimony and a faithful witness. So, if you have something you're asking God about and you're not sure of the direction or whatever yet, ask God for two confirmations, a testimony, a witness, number two. Okay? Let's all stand up. Done early tonight. Hold up number two. Hold up your finger, number two. Number two. Amen. Okay. Praise God. God, thank you for teaching us about your math. And number two, there's something about that tonight that each one of us needs to remember, be reminded of by the Holy Spirit, where you have pointed out number two in our life. Help us to know what it is and to give you glory with a great testimony. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen. Amen. All right. Be sure to fellowship with some folks and love them tonight before you leave.
Me and George have the same birthday.